Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to One for the Road, the podcast about running and the rest of your life.
On this episode, we talk about the delights of a flask, food in all its glory and maddening obsessions, and videos featuring treadmills that have hit the internet this week.
Hi, Lissy.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm just laughing because we're in like massive technophobes.
You'd think that like a year in now, we'd know how to use the software. Well, you know how to use the software. I do not.
Welcome to episode 21 of One for the Road, where we still don't know how to work a laptop or a microphone.
But we are still the podcast about running and the rest of your life. So today we thought we'd start with our highs and lows. It's been a fun 2 weeks. It's been Easter. Lissy, why don't you tell me some of the things you've been up to?
I'm going to be positive to start with and say that my last 2 weeks have been good because I've had lots of rest.
Ah, oh, that sounds lovely.
Yeah, so my Easter weekend was super, super boring. Not boring, just very quiet. So I had 4 days off work and was at home in my house the whole time on my own. All my housemates went away for Easter, so it was just very chilled out, very quiet. Ate a lot of hot cross buns because I bought a packet and had to eat them all myself because there's no one else around.
Oh, I love hot cross buns.
And got through a lot of mini eggs and yeah, it was nice. It's good, very quiet.
Very good. Sometimes you need a bit of R&R.
Yeah, and to keep up with our fortnightly moan section... It's also been a bit annoying and boring because I have hurt my foot. And so I've not been doing any exercise or running or anything. And I've just mostly been walking around with some weird tape on my toe and sitting with my foot up.
Your little bandage. Did you do that yourself or
that today?
Healthcare professional.
Today I did that myself, yes. Which is why it looks so bad. It
kind of looks cool with your tap though.
For those with a foot fetish, I'll post a picture of my foot on the internet.
You've got good enough feet for that, I think that's okay.
Yeah, this is the advantage of having a tattoo on my foot, at least it makes it look a bit prettier.
It's distracting.
How was your Easter?
My Easter was awesome. I, as I mentioned, was going to Scotland, and we spent 4 days walking. I like how there's been a big discussion about whether it was walking or hiking, or trekking. Where is the line?
I think trekking is, in my head, more kind of like flat but very far. Like you trek through a desert.
That's true.
You hike up a mountain.
Ah, interesting. So I did read an article the other day that said in San Francisco, apparently, if it's anything longer than 10 minutes and outside of an Uber, then it's a hike.
Yeah, but that's a California thing, isn't it? Yeah. Like everyone in LA goes, oh, we're going for a hike.
Yeah, and you have to put on your fitness clothes.
Yeah.
I mean, we were kind of straddling a weird thing between a walk and a hike in that case, because we did do walks that were longer than 10 minutes, and we went up mountains, or hills, or bends, and only really fully achieved one, because the weather was pretty shit. So it was like hailstorm, blowing a gale, or really sunny. So you'd have these weird intervals.
Yeah.
That meant we had inappropriate clothes, and... There was my highs and lows are like, the high was doing the walking and being out in nature and how beautiful Scotland is and how lovely all the people are. That was really fun. But the low was being caught in a hailstorm while upset Ben, wearing like inappropriate canvas trousers, like chinos, and getting really, really wet.
Oh, I think that's more appropriate. When I climbed Snowdon, I did it in jeans.
Well, Pete was wearing jeans.
Yeah. Yeah. Not appropriate.
Chafage.
Well, if that's the definition of hiking as well, then I hike every single day.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? It's like, I'm an avid hiker,
yeah,
by the rules of America.
I hike to the tube station every morning.
Longer than 10 minutes.
Yeah, it is longer than 10 minutes. Okay, that sounds awesome.
But I would like to shout out a few things. A few discoveries from the Western Scotland hiking, walking, whatever. The Walking Scotland app. Now, you know, like those visit tourism board kind of made things, like the websites of Visit Britain? Not always that helpful, can feel quite contrived perhaps. Walking Scotland is, or Welcome Scotland even, is a treat. It has like, it's offline, so you don't need the internet, which obviously is a problem in Scotland.
Yeah.
And then it's full of stuff that's like downloadable maps, pictures, detailed stage-by-stage guides of how to do these walking routes. Like, it was incredible. Couldn't have loved it more. We had a great time.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
So, very impressed. Loved it. All free. And also, the desire for a flask.
Ooh.
Day two, we were like, we have a flask, we've never used it. Day two, we're like, we forgot the flask. So, bought a flask. Revolutionised my life. While in hailstorm, drinking coffee.
Oh, nice. I was going to say, was it like drinks flask or like... snacks flask.
Oh no, we had plenty of food. But that was like of the tea cake and malt loaf variety.
Ooh, yeah, I used to have a flask, you know, one of those wide neck ones that you could put like
like a soup in.
Yeah, like chunky soup or pasta.
That's like a whole new level. That'd be awesome. I'm gonna suggest for next time that we have a soup flask and a coffee flask
collection.
Honestly, I was like, there I'm stood in the hail drinking my coffee with our hoods up and stuff, and I was like, I feel like I've transitioned into a whole new age category. And yeah, I'm really loving it. So I'm not ashamed now.
Did you come back wanting to be members of the National Trust? Oh my god.
You so thought I was about to be like, we already are.
Yeah.
We've got
are you?
No. No. We did go to a really nice castle. Inveraray Castle, very impressive. But yeah, no. I'm not ready for a National Trust yet. Although, if they did one that was like, here's a map of all the really good walks in England, then I'm definitely up for
it. I really thought you were going to say you already were then. Right, here's my English heritage badge.
No. We're not that far yet.
Sauce to anyone that is a member of the National Trust.
Yeah, sorry, it is very enjoyable and very historical.
I think living in London without a car kind of makes it a bit restrictive.
Yeah, it's true. You don't appreciate the delights as you can if you live in the countryside.
So is that your high and low combined then?
Yeah.
Good holiday. Bit haily.
And that's it really. That's been a good little, like, that's taken up most of my time.
Mm. I would definitely say the weather contributed to my laziness that weekend.
Yeah, was it
the
as bad
the
in
storm
Scotland?
Oh yeah.
Insane. It actually sounded like it ended up being worse here than
it was
where we were.
It was. It like woke me up, the wind banging against my window at like 5 o'clock in the morning. I was just lying there like, oh, I think all our garden furniture is going to be in the canal.
Yeah. Oh dear. Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of made me feel less guilty about wasting 3 days because I was like, well, I couldn't do anything outside anyway.
Yeah, I might as well be in.
It was nice. A lot of my highs over the last fortnight have been nothing to do with fitness. They've been all food related, so I've had some great food moments over the last few weeks. So I think we did mention last time actually that I'd won a dinner at Hawksmoor.
Yeah, I mean that was technically fitness related to it. You had to earn your steak.
This is true. I won a competition through my gym, One Rebel, and I went to eat my steak and it was bloody amazing. It was so good.
Which Hawksmoor did you go to?
The one in Piccadilly.
And it styled like a kind of gentlemany club.
Yeah, it was just like, I want to just sit here and drink cocktails all night. It'd be great. So yeah, we had steak and mac and cheese and chips and an amazing bottle of red wine and amazing puddings. And my voucher was for £150 and we weren't keeping track.
Much money. Yeah.
So we just ordered whatever we wanted and the bill came to £152 and they let us off the £2.
Nice.
So yeah, they were awesome. And
wow.
Yeah, and then we found a bar afterwards where it was like table service and you could sit down and order a drink and we were like, this is so civilised, we're having a nice glass of champagne and it's not a loud...
What a treat, like what a
bar.
Nice way to treat yourself.
So adult.
I know. But this goes hand in hand with the flask thing. I want an ice bar where I can sit in a cozy chair and drink an amazing cocktail.
Yeah. And I was like, I can actually hear the person I'm talking to, not shouting at each other. Oh, God, so good. And then the next day, I went to Ham Yard Hotel with my mum for afternoon tea, which was amazing. Again, like, incredible service. The afternoon tea was really cool. I'll post a picture of that as well, actually, because it was really, like, really interesting, colourful.
Was it a bit of a take on an afternoon tea?
No, not really. And I think their menu changes really often for afternoon tea.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know what kind of cakes we were going to get. So
that's fun.
Yeah, that was good. And it was really well priced as well, actually. I think it was less than £20 each.
That's really cheap.
Mm.
And Ham Yard's quite trendy, isn't it? Yeah. It's got like a nice style.
The interiors are incredible.
Mm.
So good. So yeah, that was good food.
And then, such a good food.
Such good food. And then there's more. And then I went to dinner at our friend Lauren's midweek, and she cooked us dinner, and we had lentil dal. So I'm going to have to get the recipe off her for that, because that was really good.
Yeah, I was saying I really want to learn to make lentil dal.
Yeah.
I need a recipe.
I've definitely got to the point where I'm like, if it hasn't got meat in it, I'm a bit like, but it was great. It was really good.
Exactly. Fair enough. Oh, on the flip, in Scotland, we ate nothing but seafood and fish.
Oh,
and it was
nice.
Incredible. And because of where we were staying was on a lock, a lot of the langoustine came from the lock.
Oh, my goodness.
And amazing. We were, like, absolutely loving this. You could tell we were so, like, people from London. And we were like, oh, and is it local? And they're like, yes, it's from the lock over there. There's the fisher boat. And we were like, wow, that's amazing. They could have fed me anything.
They're like, yeah, they're from the lock. They're from Thailand.
Yeah. Who knows where they're actually from? I mean, they were great. They did taste very fresh. And they were also slathered in garlic butter, which made it all the more better.
So good. Yes.
That kind of leads us on to our topic this week.
Mm.
We tackled friendship the other week. And I think today we kind of wanted to talk a bit about food, because not only because it goes a bit hand in hand with doing fitness and running, but I also think it's a bit of a... Oh, that feels a weird thing to say. But like a trend of the time where there's a new kind of, or a different preoccupation with food and your relationship to it. And something that definitely preoccupies like the 20-something woman of the modern day.
That is a good way of putting it, actually. Like everyone has a preoccupation with food now.
Yeah. Well, do you, like, I was trying to think about this earlier and I was like, I wonder if, I think my mum had a same experience. But what was her, like, when we were children, like, what was the attitude of the time was a bit like, it was kind of an exercise thing, right? Like, it's all I can think about is doing like kind of like Mr. Motivated
like TV. Proper aerobics classes.
Yes.
And they used to put them on Sky Sports in the morning for some reason. They used to have like
Sky Sports.
Yeah, it was so weird. Or like aerobics class that you could join in with in your living room.
Yeah, it was a lot about like a kind of collective get fit angle. But I would have said that the teaching of that kind of time came a lot more from, you know, like fat was bad, and there's the whole switch of like the media now being like sugar is bad and fat is good, and how, I don't know, you can feel so pressured to understand it all.
And I think it's kind of trendy to have, this is gonna sound really harsh, I feel like it's kind of trendy to have like issues with food. Like, no one, like, if you just go to a restaurant and just order something and not think about, oh, I can't have that bit because it's got this in it, or it's this bit's got this bit in it, you'd never just... We both listened to a podcast this weekend called The Guilty Feminist, and they had a show about food.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things they said on there was, like, every time you go out for dinner with someone, someone's not eating something. Like, oh, what are you not eating at the moment? Oh, I'm gluten-free, or oh, I'm not eating sugar, or whatever it is. It's like... You always have to try and find one food group or one thing that's like the thing that's going to make a difference, where like it can't just be just eat a little bit of everything and that's okay. It's always like a very extreme.
It comes from extremist principles, doesn't it? Often. And that's been supported by that rise in a kind of wellness blogger who is purely basing sometimes on well-founded or good faith opinion, but means that you're reading and seeing so much of these like projected perfect lifestyles that have, you know, they've healed and cured miracle everything and anything, and done that based on a kind of quite extreme approach to diet, which might work for them but of course may not well work for you at all. And I love that guilty feminist podcast for all their comments around it. And that thing around, I love, they have a live audience, and there's a moment where they ask the audience, you know, like, have the women in the audience ever felt like guilty about the food they eat, or felt like they needed to apologise when they've ordered something that they thought was unhealthy? And like, you hear like a complete chorus of women agreeing. And then they asked the men, and nobody, I think probably even maybe one man, said something. And it just is so interesting how it's such a stark difference between the sexes, and how I've had so many discussions with male friends who would look at me like I'm mental when I make some sort of comment. And they can't, they just can't fathom it. And even the runners, my male running friends who do care about being a faster runner or being like the best runner they can be, don't equate that kind of like crazy food relationship to what they do with their running and their fitness. That, and sometimes they're not always their benefit, but so they don't seem to have to take it to the same level that women do.
What was that word now for
an
obsession with healthy eating?
I don't know if I can pronounce it correctly. Let me see. I wrote it down. Orthorexia. And it means an obsession with healthy food. And it's that thing of, like, eat clean. I was thinking, when I was 16, I didn't know what that was. I don't think that existed.
There's some people that still don't know what it is. They're like, what does that even mean?
I found myself, it, like, entered into my vocabulary without even realising. I became really, like, cut the crap. Okay, I get that. I, like, should eat less Kit Kats or eat less crisps. But then that somehow, at some point in my subconscious, translated to be, I need to eat cleaner. And I need to eat. And that meant to me that I was like, I'm going to cut out all processed food. I'm going to, like, make everything.
I think it's good that it's becoming more recognised that certain things aren't good for you, like sugar or, you know, eating bacon all the time. But I think what people tend to forget is that if you eat, like, some sugar and if you eat bacon, like, on a Saturday morning, you're still going to be okay. Like, you don't need to not eat it ever. On that, how are we saying it? Orthorexia thing. Now, I have So last summer, it was summer four. I did Whole 30.
Yes.
In June, July, which is basically where you eat clean for 30 days. You don't eat any processed foods. You don't eat any grains, legumes, sugar. What else didn't you eat? Basically, you only eat meat, fish, fruit and veg.
Yeah.
You don't eat any dairy.
You can eat egg.
You can eat egg. You can drink coffee and tea, but without milk.
I was
obviously
gonna say caffeine,
no dairy.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's very restricted,
and it's quite difficult to do, especially the sugar part, because so much food has sugar in it. Even stuff that you're allowed to eat, like smoked salmon, I found really hard to buy smoked salmon without sugar in it, unless you buy the super expensive, like, organic Waitrose stuff. Everything else has sugar in it. Like, so much stuff that you don't expect.
Do you think it's part of the curing?
Yeah. And, like, this smokiness.
That's a very extreme, you know.
Like, that amount of sugar is probably, like, going to be fine. Anyway, so I did it for 30 days, and I have to admit that I didn't lose any weight, but my body composition changed quite a lot. Like, I did, like, you could see my abs more, like, I was a lot kind of, like, leaner, fine. That was in no way through fitness, though, because for half of the month I was so tired from cutting out sugar and caffeine that I couldn't actually do any exercise. So it was purely like an aesthetic thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought it was all good. But I have to say that since I did that, I feel so guilty about eating some things. So I think as much as that's like marketed as a really healthy thing to do and like a reset to your body, which to be fair, it probably is. As a result, I now have a kind of warped sense of feeling towards some foods that I have. So I barely eat any pasta since I did that. If I do, I only eat it out. I never have pasta in my house.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I'm just, yeah, certain things I'm just like, oh, I shouldn't be eating this. When really, there's no reason why other than the fact that I did that and it's just made me think that it's a bad thing.
It's surprising. Well, I suppose in the same way that any diet makes you focus on food, by preoccupying yourself with it, it's given you the feelings about it and make you think about it more, and therefore then ensue the guilt. And that's what the guilt feminists refer to too, about feeling guilty about eating things. Oh, I have the worst internal battles with myself over the most ridiculous, I really want to eat. And I have the sweetest tooth, so it's always, I really want to eat some chocolate. Oh, I really shouldn't eat chocolate. I feel really bad and I shouldn't eat chocolate. Oh, but I do, I could have a bit. And then because I've guilted myself so much, I eat more than I intended. And then I feel even worse. And it's a horrible, vicious circle.
Yeah.
And there's very rarely a time where I feel free from that. And it's very difficult to step outside of yourself and see how ridiculous you're being.
Mm.
Until, people like my husband say that I walk around the supermarket and spend hours looking at things. And apparently I go and shake a lot of packets. He's decided that this is a weird... When you're having your internal struggle, he knows I'm having an internal struggle because I'm holding a packet or something, absentmindedly shaking it, which I can't tell you. I don't know what that means. There's definitely something in... If it's heavier, I'll be like, oh, maybe not so good. It's lighter. It's just a weird habit that is all because my brain is absent, completely turning all the cogs. It's a total struggle.
Mm.
And that's insane. How can something so just fundamental to life be something that takes over so much of your mental capacity?
See, the thing that's really now demonized in my head is grains and
interesting. Carbs. That was definitely I feel like our slightly younger era, it was no carbs before marbs kind of culture.
I do really what do we call them? Courgette.
Oh,
courgette spaghetti.
Streamed.
Yes.
I'm never all buying good. A spiralizer.
I don't own a spiralizer because I was like this.
Yeah.
That was very small. This close to buying one, but then I realised that they're so big, and also Julienne peeler does the same thing.
I don't even have that.
Once a knife.
Once I used a grater and then I was like, I've gone too far.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with pasta. And I bought some muesli the other day and I was like, oh, this is a bit of an unhealthy breakfast. I was like, it's fucking muesli.
It's muesli.
That's not an unhealthy breakfast. What's wrong with you? Oh my God. So this morning I had muesli with yogurt and banana, which I'd say is a pretty good breakfast.
Yeah. Yes.
But in that way of thinking, it's bad because it's got muesli in it, which is all the grains that are really bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's got yogurt in it, which, oh my God, dairy. Dairy's the thing at the moment that's awful for you.
That's true.
I really wish that I was the person that owned a tiny almond milk brand 2 years ago, because
you are hitting it up right now. Oh yeah, all the milks now.
Yeah. I totally get that some people do have genuine intolerances to things, but I am conscious that some people need to be aware of the difference between an intolerance and just a weird mind thing.
Yes, agree. Your brain is so much more involved in your relationship with food than people probably give it credit for.
And yeah, going back to the whole 30 thing, as much as I think it was a bit, it's given me some odd thoughts, I've still considered doing it again. I've the last couple of months I've definitely considered starting doing it again, and I've even looked in my calendar and worked out where there's 30 days that are free where I haven't got anything weird in the diary that I could do it. Yeah, so that's quite ridiculous given that I know that it has a potentially negative effect on my thoughts about food.
Just looking for the lean abs.
Yeah, which is also ridiculous given that abs aren't a real thing, indicator of anything real.
And it all comes back down to body image, doesn't it? It's so hard to not have a conversation, about food and not have a conversation about the way you look.
Yeah, it's true. Because even though I'm going to New York in a few weeks, and the last time I was there, there's this like ongoing joke with my friends that I went with last time, that last time I went to America I got New York gin, because we ate so much good, like, amazing food.
Great food.
That we all put on weight, and that was like, it was never, you never say that and say, oh my god, yeah, we had all that amazing food and an amazing time and what amazing memories. You say, oh yeah, we had all that amazing food and your chin got bigger.
So yeah, I mean, I think there's been, there's definitely an internet backlash that, you know, for all the wellness, clean eating bloggers, there's as many people kind of making light of it a little bit and poking fun at the quinoa infested, gluten-free, sometimes fad craze that's come through. And I appreciate that. I kind of feel like we need a bit of that in our lives. We need, as we do with everything, the balance of having both.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, because I think sometimes though that in itself can be quite negative in the other way, because it just seems really mean.
Yeah, you're making light of something that for some people is like totally debilitating and, you know, makes their life pretty shit. So it's good to have a little mix of everything, and maybe we should be less hard on ourselves.
Yeah, I think balance is the key thing, because I am definitely one of those kind of people, which is why Whole 30 worked really well for me, because I'm one of those people that either needs to, it's like all or nothing.
Yeah,
it's the same with like drinking alcohol or anything. I'm like, I'll either eat like 5 biscuits a day, or I will eat no sugar whatsoever. Or I'll either have 2 bottles of Prosecco, or I won't drink at all. And there's no middle ground, and I think that's really difficult. I don't know why that is, but yeah, something to. But I think that's the same with any of the like wellness people. They're kind of at one end of the extreme as well.
Yeah, and maybe that's just trying to recognise that. That's the thing I find hard to forget, that you have to remember that they're at the extreme ends of the spectrum, and there's lots of people hovering about in the middle, and the middle's okay.
Yeah,
we love talking about the middle. Yeah. We are the middle.
Should we talk about more funny things?
Let's move on.
Back to kind of fitnessy things.
Yes.
Let's talk about 2 videos that have come out this week.
Oh my god.
Which one should we do first?
Mega lols. Okay, well let's talk about Taylor first.
Oh, Taylor Swift.
See, I'm team Taylor Swift. I like her.
I love her.
Okay. I thought we might be about to have a standoff. It's okay. We're still friends. So, I mean, yes, it's a video.
Hang on, is it? This came out yesterday. This was totally an April Fool, wasn't it?
Well, why? Did you think it was really happened?
Well, I didn't think it was actually her, but I thought it might have been a genuine advert for like...
Oh shit, so did I, yeah. So, we need to fill in people who are listening to this and cannot see our reactions. Taylor Swift versus Treadmill. Now, it's an Apple Music
advert, yeah.
And I was thinking, oh, this is, you know, they're trying to rival Spotify, they're trying to get on the running bandwagon.
Now I'm really confused, actually. So it's an Apple Music advert, she's on the treadmill, she puts Drake on, she's like running along, singing to Drake, and then falls off and like hits head on the floor. And then everyone's like, haha, yes, I hate Taylor Swift, this is so funny. Like all the comments underneath I saw were like, ha ha ha, yay, I'm glad she fell off the treadmill. And I love, like, my favourite kind of videos on the internet are people that fall off treadmills.
Don't say that, because I've fallen off a treadmill.
Honestly, if I'm ever in a bad mood, send me a video of someone falling off a treadmill and I will instantly be happier.
I'm more like laughed because she fell off the treadmill and I can identify with this. And
Funny,
rather than it's Taylor Swift falling off a treadmill.
But now I've just realised, because it came out on April the 1st, it's not actually a real advert for Apple
Music.
I feel
a bit sad that other people... Well,
unless it
I'm
is,
sure
I don't
you
know.
Can watch it.
No, it must just be a fool, right?
Yeah, but it is funny. And, I mean, the thing that struck me the most when I started watching it was, like, she's just wearing a lot of makeup for be working out.
Oh, my God, her hair is perfect.
And she's got so much... She's got fake eyelashes on, for sure. And I was like, she's not working out properly. I was like, but she's wearing too much makeup.
I know she's got a pretty short, like, bob in the advert, but she's, like, it's not off her face or anything. It's just, like, perfectly straight and, like, oh, my goodness, yeah.
We should have known from then that it was a spoof.
Yeah. It was still funny, though.
It's very funny. Look it up.
Well done, internet.
Internet win. If it is a fool, that's definitely the best one.
Yeah, it's a good one. Oh my god, sorry, I'm half watching the football score at the same time. Because
Missy.
This is a very crucial Saturday afternoon moment, and I've just noticed that.
What's going on?
Newcastle have scored against my team, Norwich. So, anyway, I'll just ignore that now. The other video we wanted to talk about was Beyonce's launch of her is it like a fitness clothing line?
I believe they're branding it as this, yes.
What's it called? Ivy Park.
Ivy Park. Because I suppose it's Blue Ivy. And then the video explains the park thing.
Yeah, like, where's your park? I go to, like, basically a happy place, isn't it?
I like that. I like the premise of that, that it's like this mental, it used to be a place she went and now it's a mental thing in her mind. If that's truly true,
yeah.
I'm very happy if that's truly true. What do you think of the, well, firstly the video, I'd say, because the promotional material.
Yeah, it's very aspirational. Like, I still don't look at that and think, yeah, you're actually like working up a sweat. You're still like beautifully like perfect Beyonce in this amazing like your amazing body.
It was like makeup, not too much makeup, but just enough to be like enhanced. Yeah.
Yeah, so I still don't feel like I'm gonna look like Beyonce anytime soon. But also her the actual clothes are very like brand, like the words. Like the headband is just like Ivy Park all around her head. It's just very
It's interesting. It's kinda like they've gone down the route of like kind of like a Calvin Klein thing with the brand, with the you know the elastic, quite 90s.
Yeah.
But then being like everybody wants to show off. I don't think the target market, okay, what us I suppose, is like, do you want to wear a brand? Like, do you want to be like I'm wearing Beyonce sportswear? Mm. Like, is that a thing? It doesn't feel like. I think as much as people aspire to be someone like Beyonce, you don't necessarily. I don't want to wear that plastered over my t-shirt. Like, I think I'm surprised they haven't gone down more of like a. Either a sassy tagline, you know, like really cringe, like, I woke up like this kind of brand, which I actually think people would have bought into a lot more. Or what I would have liked to have seen her do is a lot more of a very classic, it is classic cuts, but being, you know, hidden that logo a bit more and being a little bit more subtle.
Subtle, yeah. I think that, I've just, at the end of the video, it said it was available on Topshop.com.
Yes, I saw this.
So I'm just, I haven't actually looked at how much it is.
No, I haven't either. Oh, my God.
Oh, launching the 14th of April.
That's just... I mean, that's just a leotard she's wearing there. Olympic designer. It's very... I've, like, noticed... The first thing I noticed is she's wearing these, like, wedge trainers. Or just... Yeah. I mean, she's wearing, you know, ankle... What are they called? High tops.
Yeah.
But they look like wedge trainers. And I was like, why is she marketing a pair of trainers with heels in them and being like, I can go running in these?
Exactly. Yeah, it's not... It's kind of not quite as... like full out like having a like getting a sweat on is good it's still a bit like glossy
I think she could have gone I would have liked to have seen her gone down more of the this girl can route like been a lot more like out there and brutal with it and being a bit more rough around the edges.
I did see on Twitter though that there was some kind of like after this came out some kind of rumours starting that she might be like getting into marathon running and that you might see her at like New York Marathon.
What? Oh, that's so a rumour to promote the clothes, though.
Which I think would be awesome if that does happen.
If she's a runner, great. Like, I mean, watching that video...
There was, like, what, probably 3 seconds of her actually running, and then the rest of her just kind of like... Oh, I know she dances, like, a lot, and that's, like, a lot of body movement, but it would be really awesome to see her, like, actually running.
Yeah, run a full marathon. That'd be awesome. Well, because I watching the video, that I thought, yeah, it's really dancey, and that is what her skill is, and that's her sport, so...
I guess dance wear that would be great for. I did think, I would probably wear this, but more as like loungewear kind of thing.
Yeah, I felt the rest, particularly there's a bit which is in the pool swimming, but then they zoom out and the size of the pool is like a bath. It's like, I was like, oh, you're not going to swim very many laps in that one.
Like it's one of those ones where the water moves and you stay still.
Maybe. It was definitely plunge pool. So I don't know, I've got mixed views. I'm very interested to hear, what's the general internet opinion yet? Do we know?
No.
It's been a bit slow.
We'll have a look.
Because I'm intrigued to know what the general consensus is. I'm not sold, I don't think.
We posted the link to the video on our Twitter if you like want to have a look.
Yeah.
You know, Google it.
Tell us what you think.
So, next time, it will be the week before London Marathon.
Oh my God.
And I am just going to warn you now that I'm very excited.
I love how excited you get about London Marathon.
I'm so excited. Right, so...
I get quite emotional, though.
Oh, my goodness. I need to talk about this, actually. So I was watching the coverage of Cardiff Half Marathon.
Oh,
it was the World Championships on Easter Saturday. So, yeah, I watched some people running at Easter, even if I didn't do it myself.
It's like your favourite hobby.
I really, really, really love watching athletics on TV or in real life.
I do.
So good. It's, like, one of my favourite sports to watch. Anyway... And then at the end of the coverage, they had the first trailer for the London Marathon coverage on BBC. And I'm not even exaggerating, properly weeping.
Aww.
Actual tears running down my face. I get more excited for other people running it than I did myself.
Yeah, you've done it.
I've done it and I hated it, but I'm so excited for everyone else to do it.
I think it's the feeling. I get like that when it's anything to do with that final, seeing people do that final moment, like the surge moment, where they're like, oh, I'm nearly done. And then you see them like that change to be like, I'm going to finish. And that makes me like, even thinking about it makes me well up. Like it makes me feel really overwhelmed.
Yeah, I really love London on Marathon Day, so I'm really excited. But yeah, the warning is, one, we'll probably spend most of next podcast talking about it, or I will force us to.
No, it's fine. I think we should do, we could do our guide to London Marathon.
Yes, and two, if you follow me on any kind of social media, I will be hyping it up beyond belief.
It will be, here is the sign that's caught it cutting off the road.
What have you I'm done? Not even, no, yeah,
I can tell.
I've done something already. I live on the marathon route, and yesterday we got the leaflet that tells you about all the road closures. So I tweeted about it and was like, yay, the marathon's coming. So yeah, it's started already. Sorry, guys.
Follow Missy for London Marathon. Exclusive insider photos.
I will tweet every time I walk home past a sign that says this road's going to be closed, which is probably really exciting if you're excited. But if you're going to get a bit nervous, it's probably going to make it loads worse. So.
Yeah, I can only imagine if this had been when I was gearing up for Berlin, I was freaking out.
So the marathons I've run, like the week and a half running up to them, all I've done is post photos about it, talk about it, and I feel the same amount of excitement on other people's behalf. So
yeah, that's good. That's good for you to do. I think that's good for you to be in that position. That leaves them to freak out in the corner.
I'll be excited. You guys can freak out.
And next episode, we'll give you a race recap.
Yay!
I'm running a race tomorrow. I'm doing Reading Half Marathon.
Mm.
So, I'm looking out the window because...
It's gone very grey.
It's gone a bit dark, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It did look like it was going to be a bit mixed tomorrow. Hopefully it stays okay.
Very cloudy.
But it's going to be a bit of a nice trundle, I'm hoping. Mm. I'm kind of looking forward to just... I'm treating it, you know, going for a long run. So that's it from us for this week. Where can you find us on the internet, Lissy?
All over the internet.
Always.
Twitter and Instagram, we are at OFTL Podcast. You can email us, oftlpodcast@gmail.com. Our website is oftlpodcast.wordpress.com. Exciting website news coming soon. And where else are we? That's about it.
That's it, really. Oh, check out our newsletter. We're still doing that. We'll be sending that out every other week on the weeks we don't do a podcast.
Yeah, so you there'll can be one. Go to the website to sign up for that.
Yeah. And look out, we share all sorts of things on that, from photos we've seen on the move to our best 5-minute internet reads that hopefully have you chuckling and pondering the news of the day. So we'll speak to you soon.